Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Mackenzie Comes to Town is a work of investigative nonfiction by Walt Bogdanik and Michael Forsyth that examines Mackenzie and Company, the elite management consulting firm whose advice has shaped corporations, governments, and public institutions across the world. Published in 222, the book belongs to the tradition of corporate accountability journalism, combining interviews, documents, historical context, and case studies to assess how a highly secretive advisory firm gained influence far beyond public visibility. Its central purpose is not simply to describe consulting as an industry, but to ask what happens when private advisors help powerful clients pursue efficiency, growth, and political advantage with limited transparency. The authors focus on the gap between McKinsey public ideals and the consequences of its work, especially in areas involving layoffs, public safety, health policy, regulatory conflicts, and controversial clients. The result is a critical study of institutional power operating behind formal decision makers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, McKinsey power comes from proximity to decision makers rather than public authority. A central argument of the book is that McKinsey became powerful without holding formal office, owning major factories, or appearing regularly in public debate. Its influence comes from advising people who do hold power: chief executives, cabinet officials, regulators, military leaders, and heads of state. This makes the firm difficult to evaluate through ordinary democratic or shareholder mechanisms. When a government agency changes how it operates, or a corporation restructures thousands of jobs, the public may see only the official decision maker, not the consultants who help shape the options. Bogdanik and Forsyth present McKinsey as an institution that operates in the space between expert advice and hidden governance. The firm sells knowledge, prestige, analytic methods, and elite networks, but its recommendations can alter labor markets, public services, and regulatory priorities. The book, therefore, treats consulting as a form of power infrastructure. It is not merely a service industry that produces reports. It can define problems, narrow acceptable solutions, and give leaders an external justification for decisions they already want to make. That indirect influence is what makes the subject unusually important. Secondly, efficiency advice often translates into layoffs, outsourcing, and reduced safety margins. The book repeatedly examines the practical meaning of efficiency when applied inside large organizations. McKinsey often presents its work as improving performance, eliminating waste, and helping clients become more competitive. Bogdanik and Forsyth argue that in many cases, this language conceals a narrower economic outcome: lower labor costs, reduced maintenance, more outsourcing, and higher short-term profitability. The authors connect this consulting logic to broader changes in American capitalism, especially the rise of shareholder value and executive compensation tied to stock price. If a company can cut payroll or close facilities, the benefits may appear quickly in financial metrics, while the social costs are dispersed among workers, communities, and consumers. The book does not claim that every efficiency program is harmful. Rather, it questions a model in which consultants can recommend severe cuts while remaining insulated from long-term consequences. The most serious concern is that cost reduction can affect safety and institutional resilience, not just employment. When maintenance, staffing, or oversight are treated primarily as expenses, organizations may become more profitable in the short run, but more fragile in the long run. Thirdly, controversial clients expose the limits of values-based corporate branding. One of the book's most visible contributions is its examination of McKinsey word for clients and institutions associated with major public harms. The authors discuss McKinsey advice to Purdue Pharma during the opioid crisis, its work connected to immigration enforcement, its relationships with fossil fuel and tobacco interests, and its engagements with governments whose human rights records have drawn criticism. These cases matter because McKinsey publicly emphasizes values, social contribution, and positive change. Bogdanik and Forsyth ask whether those statements have practical force when the firm chooses clients or design strategy. The ethical problem is not limited to reputation. Consultants can make harmful systems more effective by improving marketing, logistics, cost control, or political positioning. A technically successful engagement may therefore deepen social damage. The book highlights a recurring separation between professional excellence and moral responsibility. Within that separation, the consultant can claim to provide neutral expertise while the client makes final decisions. The authors challenge that defense by showing that advice is not passive. When expertise helps a client sell more aggressively, cut oversight, or strengthen coercive capacity, the advisor becomes part of the causal chain. Fourthly, secrecy and alumni networks make accountability unusually difficult. McKinsey's reputation rests partly on discretion. Clients pay for confidential advice, and the firm benefits from a culture that treats secrecy as professionalism. Bogdanik and Forsyth argue that this confidentiality becomes a public problem when the work affects public budgets, regulatory agencies, health systems, and national policy. Unlike elected officials or publicly listed companies, consulting firms often do not disclose enough information for outsiders to evaluate conflicts of interest or policy influence. The book also emphasizes the McKinsey alumni network. Former consultants move into corporate leadership, government, finance, technology, and nonprofit institutions. This network can create opportunities for new business, shared assumptions about management, and a continuing aura of elite credibility. The issue is not that alumni networks are inherently improper. The concern is that they can blur lines between independent judgment and institutional loyalty. If former consultants hire the firm, rely on its frameworks, or move between public roles and private advisory work, influence can circulate through relationships rather than open deliberation. The book portrays this ecosystem as one reason McKinsey can remain influential even after scandals, because its authority is embedded in personnel networks as much as contracts. Lastly, the book uses investigative reporting to challenge the neutrality of expertise. Bogdanek and Forsyth approach McKinsey through the methods of investigative journalism rather than business theory alone. The book draws on interviews, documents, prior reporting, and case-based reconstruction to examine how consulting advice functions in practice. This method is important because management consulting often presents itself through abstract language transformation, optimization, growth, efficiency, and impact. The authors translate those terms into concrete consequences for workers, patients, taxpayers, and communities. The reporting also challenges the idea that elite expertise is politically or morally neutral. A spreadsheet can appear objective, but it reflects choices about what to measure, what to ignore, and whose interests count. If a model values cost savings more easily than community stability, safety culture, or democratic accountability, it can push decisions toward outcomes that appear rational but are ethically incomplete. The book has been criticized by some readers as heavily prosecutorial and less attentive to McKinsey beneficial work or internal reforms. Even so, its value lies in forcing scrutiny of a profession that usually avoids it. It turns the consultant from a background technician into a visible actor whose advice deserves public examination. In conclusion, When McKinsey Comes to Town is especially useful for readers interested in corporate power, business ethics, public administration, labor history, and investigative journalism. Executives and consultants can read it as a challenge to the assumption that client service and technical excellence are sufficient ethical standards. Policy readers can use it to understand how private advisors influence public institutions without the visibility normally attached to political power. General readers will find it valuable because it explains why decisions that appear local or managerial can reflect a global consulting culture built around efficiency, elite networks, and confidential influence. The book stands out for many business exposes because it is not focused on a single scandal or one failed company. Its subject is an advisory system that repeatedly appears behind scandals in different sectors, from healthcare and pharmaceuticals to government contracting and corporate restructuring. Compared with conventional books on management consulting, it is less interested in how firms create strategy and more interested in who pays the cost when strategy is separated from accountability. Its strongest benefit is intellectual. It gives readers a framework for seeing consultants as participants in governance, not merely hired analysts. Even readers who find its tone severe can gain a clearer understanding of how prestige, secrecy, and technical language can protect consequential private power from scrutiny. If you would like to support Walt Bogdanek, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.